This is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
The disciples are confused because it says a little while and you won't see me, and they're wondering, what does that mean? And we need to consider Jesus's timeline when he talks about a little while, things like a little while. In verse 22, at the very end, he says, your heart will rejoice and your joy no one will take from you. The permanent, eternal joy. And he's contrasting that which is temporary. There will be sorrow, but there's coming something permanent, eternal. It will resolve into that. It's working for something better. Now, for me, a little while can mean 5 minutes.
You know, sometimes your breakthrough is just right around the corner. In today's message, Pastor Troy delves into the ways of the Lord. Did you know every trial has its purpose? The Bible says that there's a purpose behind every season we go through. Every road you travel and every mistake you've made has set you up to become the person God created you to be. He hasn't started something that he doesn't intend to finish. He's your advocate, and all of heaven is just a prayer away from coming to your aid in a time of need. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of John chapter 16 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
See, here's some things that can happen. You know, I've learned. I'll ask questions even when I really kind of know the answer, because then I can either have it confirmed or get new insights to it, or at the very least, I learn that, okay, that person said they know things, but they don't. You learn something. But you'll get things confirmed if you did know them. Or you'll get information added that you need to help you understand. A new perspective, maybe. Or you may find out, God forbid, you may find out you're wrong. Your way of thinking, your way of dealing with things, your perspective is actually wrong. There's another perspective. And it's closer to what the Bible says. See, your perspective is based upon your feelings, and this was based upon the Word of God. Either way, you can learn if you ask the questions, if you're around God's people. However, if you never ask the question, if you always think you got it figured out or you know it all, and you don't take time to listen, you will not learn. You won't learn anymore, and you will not grow. There's an old Chinese proverb says, he who asks a question is a fool for 5 minutes, but he who does not ask a question is a fool forever. That'd be sad. So the first place to take all your questions is to the Lord, right? Now, and I don't mean just go to him in prayer and say, Lord, I got this question. No, that's fine. Lay it there. But if you really want answers, here's how you get those answers. Take your questions and you approach the Bible with your questions in mind. You know, the way we approach the scriptures changes what we get from the scriptures. I've had scriptures that I've read and I've read throughout the years. And then one day, a certain circumstance is in my mind, you're reading it and you go, whoa, man, that makes sense. It was there all along. You just didn't have the right question, the right perspective, or the right experiences to let that open up for you. And so take your questions, whatever questions, and take them into the Word of God with you. Read the Bible with those questions at hand. Write them down. Write those important questions down. And every time you read, go over your questions first to frame yourself. This is what you want to know. This is what's important to you. And then you ask the Lord. And I mean questions about life. Lord, why was the tabernacle such and such size? Don't worry about that. He may not ever answer, though they don't mean anything to your life. Ask questions about life, your life, and see what he has to say. You'll find that the Bible begins to really open up You don't need more Bible studies. What you need is a right approach to your own Bible reading. And that's enough. The scripture says the Holy Spirit is one who will counsel you and teach you. So take your questions in your personal time before the Lord. And that means, guys, if you want to dispel the confusion and the lack of understanding which causes you to lose your own joy, to quench your own joy, then you're going to have regular time in the Word. You've got to have it. Look at verse 19. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy." Second thing we get here, promises can anchor joy. So confusion can challenge joy. Promises, however, can anchor joy, can establish, can revive joy. Notice that Jesus doesn't explain everything to them. They're confused. They're talking amongst themselves. He goes, "Let me explain." He doesn't sit there and explain. He says, "For a time you will lament, the world will rejoice, you'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. And this is forever." See, we like things explained, don't we? What the Lord did was, instead of explaining, he gave them a promise. "Here's a promise I want you to hold on to." But we, especially in America, we think everything needs to be explained to us before we feel good about it. I mean, you're the professional, but why do you do it that way? I mean, explain to me. I don't understand. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Okay, then it's good. But if I don't understand it, I'm going to keep hammering, keep bashing, keep coming at you because I don't understand it. Why don't you do it this way? My way. This is the way I would do it. And we just want understanding. Give me understanding. And so often we're not happy until something is adequately explained to us. I will not be happy till you explain it and you make sense to me. I'll get it. In times of sorrow, "Pastor, explain to me why God would do this. I wish I could explain why God would do certain things." But we want explanation more than anything. I hear that more than anything. The why. Why? I just want to know why. You know why? If God answered the why, that wouldn't be enough. That wouldn't be good enough. Because then we go, well, then why didn't you do it this way instead? The explanation is never really good enough because we will always have another way that he could have done it. So God doesn't give explanations. He gives promises. "Look, I can explain, but let me promise you this. Let me give you this." Warren Wiersbe, great pastor and teacher of the scriptures, once spoke to a group of church leaders who felt that their calling was to minister to the grieving. You talk about a tough calling. He said to them, "Don't offer explanations of why God may have allowed this to happen. There may be time for that later on. For now, simply remind them of the promises of God." He went on to say, "Even if the minister can give a rational explanation for this tragedy, explanations do not heal a broken heart. People live on promises, not explanations. We do not need reasons. Rather, we need resources." So Jesus is telling them, hey, you're going to go through some pain. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. There's going to be sorrow. The world will heap it upon you. They'll kind of rejoice on it over you. But trust me, this is working for something good. Permanent. Your joy will never be taken from you. You will rejoice. And Jesus uses a little phrase that's different from his perspective than ours. It's that "a little while." A little while. A little while, I'll be gone. A little while, I'll be back. What does he mean? In fact, they said that. That was the big phrase for them. He says, "Well, go away, go away." And then he says, "In a little while." What does he mean, a little while? Well, I hope to give you some perspective of his a little while. The disciples are confused because it says a little while and you won't see me. And they're wondering, what does that mean? And we need to consider Jesus's timeline when he talks about a little while, things like a little while. In verse 22, at the very end, he says, your heart will rejoice and your joy no one will take from you. The permanent, eternal joy. And he's contrasting that which is temporary. There'll be sorrow, but there's coming something permanent, eternal. It will resolve into that. It's working for something better. Now, for me, a little while can mean 5 minutes. A little while can even mean a few hours. You say, hey, I'll do it in a little while. I'm not expecting next week. I'm expecting in a few hours, a little while, very shortly. Now, for a two-year-old, the perspective changes. And for a two-year-old, a little while means as soon as I stop talking. Or within 30 seconds of that. Because 30 minutes to them is an eternity. That's their perspective. But we have to look at things sometimes from God's perspective. It's hard for us. But someone, I think, did this really well. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. That doesn't mean one day lasts 1,000 years. What it means is, from his perspective, this whole, from Genesis all the way through the end until that redemption, it's like this for him. This short of a time. That's it. And you got lots of pains in there, but so does generations and generations. I mean, Adam has pains in there. I mean, so many people, there's so many things that happened in there. So many things. But see, after this is eternity, where there is joy, no sorrow, no sadness, no sickness, none of that. He says, look, this is a tiny little bit. And someone did a great study, I guess, on God's perspective of a little while. And he took history, all of history, and he said, to give some perspective, he could have done it into 50 seconds, but that's a little too much for us, a little too fast, but it'd be for God. But he said, I'm going to pack it into 50 years of time. All of history, to give you some perspective, God's perspective. So he said, if that were the case, if that were the timeline, then 5 months ago, the printing press was invented. 20 days ago, Ben Franklin discovered electricity. 19 days ago, the telephone was invented. 18 days ago, two dropouts invent an airplane. 10 days ago, the invention of the radio. 5 days ago, the TV finally came onto the scene. And 5 minutes ago, the first jet plane took off. That's a lot that's happened in a few months. You see, to God, 1,000 years is like a day. A day is as 1,000 years. It's just a little while. And for us, it will also be that way when we have greater understanding. You know who has greater understanding? Those who are older. I've never heard anyone who's older go back and go, man, it took forever to get to here. Man, we just drug on. Now, there were moments of time that drug. But when you get it at the latter years of life, you look back and you go, that was quick. Man, that was fast. I did not expect it to go that fast. And it just keeps going faster. See, they have some perspective. It's going very, very fast.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible, and you can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later, or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way, you'll never miss a teaching, and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the Solid Rock.
So, guys, this is just for a little while. the things that we make out to be such a big deal, they're not. They fit in this little squeak of a time that's also called a vapor. It's like, look, these aren't the important things, guys. We get caught up in things like, I remember I had to have the little graduation credit, you know, it was like a little version, wallet version of the graduation. It was so important. Oh, I gotta have that, man. I'm graduating. Everyone's gonna have them. You know, such an important thing. I look back now, I don't even know where that thing is. I don't care. Look back at some of this stuff and go, it's not important. Oh, my ring, gotta have the ring. You know, yeah, it's important, you know, but don't go broke getting the thing. You look back and actually, you know, a few years into it, you go, man, it's time to take this thing off, because after a while, they're like, you're still wearing your high school ring? That's been like 4 years. Like, you know, I paid a pretty penny for it. I'm pretty proud of it. It's got the baseball in there, you know? Like, oh, man, you don't get it. Time moves on, man. That thing you thought was so important then, it's not. And we need to have perspective to understand this thing that we're going through, it'll pass. Just like everything else does. For some, it's like, I just want to live for misery. And when this misery passes, I need more misery. Where's the other misery? I need something else. But God says, look, you're crimping off your own joy. Forget this. If I'm not bringing it to you, if I'm not doing this, if I've not asked this of you, forget about it. Stop being so worldly. It's always the worldly stuff that gets us, never God's stuff. Oh, I need this, but they want to go here. Oh, and then they got to do that. So we get in arguments and fight because we got to divide up and go there and do this. And none of it has anything to do with God. Just chasing the things of the world. And they're so, so important to each of us in the moment. But when we look back, we find out they weren't that important. Jesus doesn't give explanations. He gives promises. Promises that are intended to direct them, to direct their focus on those things which are to come. He said, we need to set our mind on things that are above, not the things of the world. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and follow after him. Don't just be a fan of his. I love Jesus. How about you? That's how they do. One side, come on, you know how it goes. And then this side will go, no, we love Jesus, how about you? And so we can pump each other up. But that will, you can go out there and have a miserable day. Those who have joy are those who not, they don't stand and are fans of Jesus. They follow him. It's exciting, is one way to put it. Scary sometimes, but exciting. To follow the Lord. To just, okay, this takes work. So, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. This marriage, this thing, it takes work. So let me read your word. Now, the easiest thing for me to do is get out of it and run. But your word does say you hate divorce. And so I need another option. I'm trying to fix him. I'm trying to fix, you know, I don't know how to do this. And so you've got to let it go. Be what God wants you to be. All right, he told me to love that person. Okay, what does that look like? Well, as a husband and wife, you encourage each other. You talk with one another. You allow yourselves all the things the Bible says. Wives, yield yourselves support. Husbands, stop thinking about yourself so much. Stop thinking about the football game so much. Stop thinking about all these other things that you'd rather do to accomplish something, and just listen. And don't fix her. Be there. Say you understand. Let's do this one time, guys. Just one time. All right? Repeat after me. I understand, dear. So just say that. Let's do that. One time. Come on. I'm serious. We got to get it out. There you go. One more. All together on three. One, two, three. I understand, dear. Now, not in a submissive kind of a way, guys. It's not like, I understand, dear. No, no. You need to go, I'm listening and I understand and I feel for you. I feel with you. That's all they want to know. That's enough for them. It wasn't that hard. Get that out, guys. Let's go. All right. So we talked about the fact that confusion can challenge joy. Promises can anchor joy. We get our heart and our mind set on the promises of God. Finally, look at verse 21. Jesus gives a little bit of an explanation here, an example, illustration. He says, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Finally, sorrow can lead to joy. Sorrow can actually turn into, become, be the pathway to joy. And Jesus uses birth as a perfect example. There's lots of hardship. There's lots of pain, suffering to get to that place of joy. This is the promise. This is what it's about. So he uses birth as the illustration of this process. He says it's like having a baby. There are lots of joys along the way to having a child, right? I mean, the baby kicked. Oh, coming up with a name for a baby, spending some time together and talking about the baby. But along the way, there's some pain and discomfort too in the process, right? I mean, there's morning sickness. That's at the beginning stages and, usually carrying the little crackers or something, and it can be kind of miserable for a while. It's like, when is this going to end? Then it ends. Fatigue and the cravings, those things can be out of control. But in the last months, that's where it all starts to, it's like God gives you a break for a while. And then, we're close. All right, things are changing now. And then there can be a misery and a discomfort. Especially if you're in the summer, you get the comments, boy, you look like you should have already had, or you haven't twin. You hear all the comments like, thank you very much. I'm going to kill you. You don't understand how I feel right now. And so you get all that at the end, and then it's hard to sleep. I mean, that's an odd shape. No one sleeps on their belly. And so it can be a little uncomfortable. You cry out to the Lord, Jesus, when is this going to be over? And I want the end. I want the goal, but I want this over with. Can we get done with this? And then you have labor and delivery. Now, Carol Burnett talked to the guys. He said, guys, you don't get this. But if you want to experience it or understand, take your bottom lip and pull it all the way over your head to the backside. He said, that's kind of what it's like. Well, I don't see anyone doing that. We don't want that. We don't want pain. Nobody wants pain. Nobody wants to go through pain to get to something else. And yet, no mom I've ever talked to, once the baby is born, has kept telling me all about the pain. They talk about the baby, the joy that is in front of them, the result. Now, it's not the right time to say, hey, you want another? Not time for that just yet. However, they are so focused on this beauty, this baby, this brand new, not defiled or anything yet, that they don't remember even some of the pain right now, because that's not where their focus is. Guys, that's what the Lord is saying eternity is like.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than other Gospel books, John introduces his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles, because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the message to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the book of John on building on the solid rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in